VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us today here on Crosstalk. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is really a must-listen-to episode of Crosstalk today. We have for some time covered the Great Reset, the New World Order, but we are quickly advancing toward this very end. I mean, there are so many things that are in place for this. But did you know that one of the components of this agenda involves the merging of machines and technology with humans? I mean, it's called transhumanism. And though we've alluded to this in several past programs, today we're going to devote our entire program to this issue. You're going to be hearing with your own ears. A proponent is declaring that we have had surveillance of humans for some time, where they go, what they do. But now we need to have surveillance beneath the skin, under the skin. And just as there is technology to hack into a computer, there's also desire to hack into humans. Sound bizarre? Stay with us. Alex Newman is our guest here today, an award-winning international freelance journalist. He's an author, a researcher, educator, and consultant, senior editor for The New American, and contributes to other publications, author of Crimes of the Educators and Deep State, The Invisible Government Behind the Scenes, founder also of Liberty Sentinel. And Alex, I'd like to welcome you back here to Crosstalk.
Thank you so much for having me, Jim. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Well, the sheer mention of this word transhumanism causes people's radar to go off. You know, we have the do-do-do-do-do-do. I mean, we've got, you know, thinking that we've gone science fiction now with our program, but I'm sure you've heard that several times. But this is really something true that's taking place.
Yes, it is, Jim. And it does sound like science fiction. I'll be the first one to acknowledge that. In fact, it sounds like bad science fiction, like something out of a B-rate Hollywood movie or something. It sounds so implausible. And yet, these people talk about these issues amongst each other. They write papers about it. They write books about it. They give speeches to each other about it. And these are not just, you know, kooks out on the fringe of the fringe. When you start digging down into this movement, what you'll find is that many of the most powerful people on planet Earth are leading proponents of this movement. People like Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, people like Bill Gates, the founder of Microsoft. These are some of the leading luminaries. Also, Ray Kurzweil, the chief of engineering for Google. These are some of the key people that are pushing this. And again, you won't probably read about it on the front page of your local newspaper. They're not going to tell you about it on your TV channels, most likely. But the fact that this is going on is easy to demonstrate. It's very well documented. And in my opinion, it's completely diabolical, Jim.
Well, you have indicated that this issue may be more important than any other on the horizon. Why is this issue so significant?
Well, I do believe that. And I think one of the reasons why is because what's at stake here is literally the future of humanity, the future existence of humanity. You have some of the leading lights within this movement, people like Yuval Noah Harari, who, of course, is deeply connected to the World Economic Forum. He's an advisor to Klaus Schwab. He's one of the leading stenographers of this movement. He's written multiple books on it, a homosexual activist from Hebrew University in Israel. And like I said, his material is not well known among the public. But when you get into the levels of the elites, Barack Obama reads his books, Angela Merkel reads his books and promotes them. And when you dig down into it, this is an effort to really transcend humanity. And as you all know, Harari, he actually put it explicitly. He said within the next 100 years or so, humans may not even exist anymore because, as he puts it, we are going to become deities ourselves. We're going to become little gods, and we're going to become masters of evolution. And he says that the new transhuman human is going to be so different from the current human beings that they're not even going to be like the same species anymore. It'll be like humans versus orangutans, or humans versus Neanderthals. You know, he considers those, I guess, a separate species. So that's what we're talking about here. We're literally talking about the future existence of humanity. We're talking about questions of immortality and eternity and what it means to be human. And it suddenly makes all the other issues seem less significant by comparison.
So this is being discussed openly right now, but it actually has been kind of kept on the quiet for some time. How long has this actually been going on behind closed doors?
Well, there have been people who've been dreaming about this for decades, but the technology simply wasn't far enough advanced for anybody to really take it seriously. There were some visionaries, if you will, who were publicly making the case for transhumanism years ago, even decades ago. People like Ray Kurzweil have been on the forefront of this. Ray Kurzweil, the chief of engineering for Google, is a very intelligent individual from the purely materialistic perspective, right? He's got, I'm sure, an incredibly high IQ, very, very good analytical skills. And so he could see some of the trends in technology and foresee what might become feasible at some point in the future. So for many years, people didn't really take this seriously. I mean, I've had my eye on this for probably a decade, but again, the technology wasn't, at least the technology that was revealed to the public, wasn't far enough advanced for this to seriously be entertained as a realistic possibility anytime within the near future. But what we're seeing now is the technology is available. The technology is rapidly advancing. It's becoming more and more ubiquitous. And now I think we're very quickly approaching, Jim, the marketing phase, where you will start hearing about this stuff in the popular culture. You'll start hearing about it in your news report. It'll, of course, be presented as this wonderful development. Mm-hmm. It's going to be convenient. It's going to be secure. It's going to be fun and super awesome. It's how they'll market it to children. So I think we're very rapidly approaching that. But this is not a new movement by any means, and it's new to most people because, again, they haven't really talked much about this in public.
So when you talked about technologies weren't there, you know, some years ago, but they are now, what kind of technologies are you talking about? What technologies are involved with this?
There's a whole range of technologies. Some of the critical ones include technological upgrades to the human being, right? One of the, you might even call it the holy grail of the transhumanist movement, if I may be so bold, is a technological system that allows the human brain to interact with computer systems. And up until now, that's been kind of elusive, at least in terms of publicly revealed technology. I mean, certainly there's a lot of research going on in DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency at the Department of Defense, and I'm sure other governments are engaged in this research as well. But in terms of what's been publicly discussed and available, there really have not been very good technological tools that enable the human brain to be connected directly to computers. That is changing very rapidly. In fact, Elon Musk is pioneering something he calls Neuralink. Now, this is technology that already exists. They're already going into human trials. They've already proved the concept with pigs and other animals. And what it is, and Elon Musk explains this, I've got the video of him talking about it, that they saw out a piece of your skull, and in place of that piece of skull, they put a microchip that has wires that are connected into your brain. And then this microchip, he calls the technology Neuralink, allows your brain to communicate wirelessly with computer systems. And so I actually have the video of him showing how this works on pigs. It is able to predict the muscle movements of the pigs based on what the brain is doing. And he actually also talks about the ability to write on the brain as if the brain were kind of like a computer hard drive. So that's one of the critical components. Another one of the critical technologies involved here is biological engineering. The advances that we have seen in genetics and genetic engineering and nanotechnology open up a whole new world of possibilities. And really the technology for editing the genome, it's existed for, you know, depending on how serious the technology you want to look at, it's several decades at least. We've had some basic know-how of this. But now we're at the point where genes can be activated, DNAs can be clipped, and new genes inserted within that DNA. We've got mRNA technology now that is genetic material that is used by the cell to carry information from place to place to give the cell instructions. So now all of this isn't just possible. It is in existence now. It is being used now. We've seen it for many years used in agriculture. They've been genetically engineering our crops. But now they are openly, I mean, and they have been for at least 4 or 5 years. Bill Gates wrote an article about this in 2018 for Foreign Affairs called Gene Editing for Good, where he openly advocates this concept of genetically engineering human beings, as if God didn't know what he was doing when he wrote our DNA, and we need to rely on people like Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab to properly understand what our DNA should say. So these are some of the technologies, and you combine that with the surveillance, the digital identity systems, the increasing move toward digital currencies as opposed to cash and systems like that. And it paints a very, in my opinion, concerning picture of the future in terms of where these people want to go.
5G, is there any connection?
Absolutely. And 5G is a critical component of this because you need to be able to have all these devices be able to communicate with each other at rapid speeds. And if you didn't have this kind of ubiquitous network where technology could communicate with other technology almost instantly, it wouldn't be possible to create this network. So they talk about what they call the Internet of Things, and this is already coming into view now. We see, you know, you have a smart TV and a smart toaster and a smart refrigerator and a smart watch and a smart printer and a smart home alarm system and a smart doorbell and a smart lighting system and a smart, so everything now is connected through the 5G technology to the internet and to your smartphone and everything else. But the next step in this is what they call the Internet of Bodies. And so this is where technology is actually now being implanted in the human being. It can be anything from pills that have communication devices that you eat, and then they monitor, you know, did you eat your medicine, what they're doing to your body, et cetera, other technologies that can monitor your health. And then even, you know, we're at the point now where they're openly promoting the idea of microchips implanted in the brain, and you need the 5G network to be able to have all these technologies communicate with each other.
You know, and there's one other aspect. I was looking at lifenews.com. They had an article from August 12, 2021, published by a leading bioethics journal, the Hastings Center Report, and they had a couple of authors on an article that was proposing the introduction of an advanced directive implant, which they're calling it ADI, and that drugs would release, it would be a lethal dose that one would get, death would come instantaneously. It would be implanted at the outset of, like, dementia and then programmed to activate according to the patient's prognosis to cause that instant death, that implant that would take place. That's scary.
Yeah. It is, and this is just one example of the nefarious applications that these things can be used for. And, you know, I want to make clear, I'm not a Luddite. I don't believe that we necessarily need to hide from technology. Technology can have good applications, and it can have evil applications. And a lot of these technologies that we're talking about have potentially, at least, very good applications. You know, if you lose an arm or a leg as a result of an accident or in a war, you know, it's incredible to be able to have the technology where you can replace your biological arm with kind of a technological substitute. You know, there's nothing per se wrong with that. But what we're talking about here is the weaponization of these technologies by forces. I would even go to Ephesians 6 and say we're talking powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness and darkness in high places. The weaponization of these technologies for really what I consider to be an all-out war on humanity. You know, God created human beings in his image, and what we're talking about here is the alteration of that and its replacement with something else. And I think the implications of this need to be very seriously considered, especially by Christians.
Indeed. And folks, it takes us back to the beginning rebellion, doesn't it? I shall be as God. And that same temptation given to Eve in the garden, and that same aspect is before us here today to make us as gods. We're going to come back with more discussion here in just a moment. Alex Newman is with us from thenewamerican.com. We're talking about transhumanism today. And friends, we're going to bring in the Great Reset. We're going to bring in Klaus Schwab and Yuval Noah Harari. Some clips that he has said as well. So stay with us. We'll be back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, when we're looking at the evolutionary scale, what animals would be considered primitive?
Chris, mammals are thought to be more advanced on the evolutionary scale, although all animals are amazingly well designed. Insects are thought to be rather primitive, but research has shown that even butterflies, as they migrate across the ocean, have some sort of built-in magnetic sense which keeps them on course. They can correct their course even if blown off course by wind. Chris, even insects were created by an amazingly intelligent creator. There's nothing primitive about any form of life. Even single-cell life is complex. If it's living, it's complex. And it's been that way ever since, back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
Friends, we're not talking science fiction today. We're talking what is going on. What used to be behind closed doors is now being discussed openly, and it's happening on many different fronts, whether it be in science magazines, whether it be that through the World Economic Forum and related organizations as well. Alex Newman is with us today on this topic of transhumanism, and it is amazing to see what is taking place. Alex, you've been with us before, have often mentioned the Great Reset. We've talked about the Great Reset, and this topic of transhumanism is really tied in to this overall topic of the Great Reset. I mean, these really fit hand in glove, do they not?
They absolutely do, Jim, and that's how I really seriously began my in-depth study of transhumanism, because like I mentioned before the break, I had been kind of watching this at a distance, kind of incredulous. You know, I heard these people talking about it, and it just seemed so preposterous based on, you know, what was known about existing technologies. But when Klaus Schwab and the head of the United Nations, Antonio Guterres, an actual Socialist Party member, the head of the International Monetary Fund, Kristalina Georgieva, the next in line to the British throne, Prince Charles, you also had the CEO of a company called ChipSafe that manufactures implantable chips and implants for livestock, for tracking and health monitoring. When they all came together in June of 2020 and announced the Great Reset, Klaus Schwab said something very important when he was describing it. He was asked what the most important transformative element of this was, and he said, your mind. And he emphasized over and over and over again the significance of what he had called the Fourth Industrial Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I had heard this term many times from Klaus Schwab. I've been following the World Economic Forum for quite some time, and I'd heard it from others as well. In fact, Joe Biden talked about it while he was still vice president when he showed up at the World Economic Forum. And so I had heard this term. I had not done a lot of investigating, but as I started digging into this, in fact, Klaus Schwab wrote a whole book about it. And even before he published his book, he wrote an article about it in the Journal Foreign Affairs, which is the journal for the Council on Foreign Relations. This is really a journal for the elites of the United States, right? I call it the Council on Foreign Relations the deep state headquarters here in the U.S. And so he outlined this vision of a merger between our biological systems, right, the human body, and technology. And in fact, that's almost the terminology he used.
Yeah, and I've seen the quote, the fusion of our physical, digital, and biological identity.
That's right, yep, and he's used that repeatedly as a way to kind of concisely summarize what he means. And I think, to be fair to Klaus Schwab, that's a very nice, succinct definition of what these people envision. They plan to fuse our biological bodies with the technological systems that are sprouting up around us. And again, the implications of this are very concerning. And when you read Klaus Schwab's book, you realize they absolutely plan to take this in a totalitarian direction. Klaus Schwab mentions in his book, for example, that governments might even soon start requiring these mandatory brain scans to determine whether individuals are a risk to security or security risk. And, you know, knowing what I know about Klaus Schwab, I don't think he means somebody is likely to shoot people or blow something up. I think he's really thinking about critics of his Great Reset agenda and the New World Order that they're building. So they're talking about, first of all, making these technologies mandatory, and second of all, allowing them to intrude in the most private, the most sensitive parts of what it means to be human, down to our very thoughts, our private thoughts, our dreams, our opinions, through technology. And for me, that's incredibly concerning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really is. I mean, and you were just getting to this, alluding to it, but Schwab talks about using this technology for what he calls pre-crime purposes. I mean, how is he, one wonders, how is he going to get at that? What's he really getting at here when he talks about using the technology for pre-crime purposes?
Well, if you listen carefully to what he says, and he has even started speaking out publicly in some select media interviews about this. He talks about the desirability of sticking microchips inside of our skulls to fuse them with our brains, and then feeding real-time live data from our brains to the technology systems. And so at least the way he presents it to the public, this would enable the authorities to know, hey, this person's thinking about robbing a car, or this person is thinking about murdering a politician or blowing something up. That's the way he's selling this idea to the public. But, of course, this is, you know, contrary to every sense of justice that we have, and it's also ripe for abuse. Who's to say that the person who is alleged to have thought about committing a crime was actually going to commit the crime? And who's to say that they even really did think about that? I mean, do we trust the people developing and deploying these technologies? And I think the answer should obviously be no.
Right. Well, we've got a compilation of clips here of Yuval Noah Harari. He's a lead advisor to Klaus Schwab. But beyond that, before we air the clips, what do we know about him?
Well, we know he's a homosexual activist, and I think it's very fitting in the context of Romans 1. You know, God talks about these people who deliberately suppress the truth in their unrighteousness, mm-hmm. these people who really have no way of factually or logically or reasonably denying the existence of God. God says he's made himself and his attributes plain for everybody to see, and yet you have this category of people who deliberately suppress these truths that are obvious to everyone, that are obvious to a child who hasn't been taught anything. And so I think Yuval Noah Harari falls very neatly into that category. He deliberately suppresses the truth of God. He rejects the existence of God. And as you pointed out, he is now, I think, an open advocate of the very same lie that we heard from the snake in the garden in Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, where the snake says, you know, you shall be as God. Right? All you got to do is disobey God. That is the fundamental premise that Yuval Noah Harari is pushing. And his latest book, it's called Homo Deus. And, you know, homo, not in the sense of homosexual, but more in the sense of like the homo sapiens, the human, and Deus being, you know, the Latin for God. So man, God. And that's what he's advocating for. Yeah. He's arguing that as we upgrade ourselves, as we biologically engineer ourselves to be superior genetically, as we upgrade our bodies with technology like these brain implants, like these other mechanisms that he openly talks about, that we are going to become little gods. We are going to become masters of our destiny. We are going to become masters of evolution and rulers of the universe. And it just, in the context of Romans 1, it just fits so perfectly. So I do encourage people to pay close attention to these clips that you're about to hear. This man is critical to understanding the transhuman agenda, and I think you'll learn a lot.
And he's an advisor to Klaus Schwab.
That's right.
Of the World Economic Forum. The clip here is, I know there's many things out there of him, but this is about 2 minutes long. Let's listen in.
And COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin. Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition? Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over.
I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
Alex Newman, wow, there is so much to comment on these clips here, but it is amazing. And this is not being talked about behind closed doors. He's openly saying these things in interviews and addresses.
That's right. And that's how far along this is. In fact, just recently I saw him appear on, I think it was CBS's 60 Minutes with a fellow homosexual activist, Anderson Cooper. And, you know, he was trying to portray himself as the reasonable one and highlighting these technologies and the potential benefits, and then also saying, yeah, but obviously there's a little bit of risk. And then he suggested that there's a way to mitigate this risk. We just have to have global regulation. And of course, global regulation would have to come from a global government. But I'm so thankful that you compiled or obtained that collection of clips, because it really does offer some very nice and concise insight into what this man thinks. He really regards human beings as soulless animals. He regards the resurrection of Christ as fake news. He regards homosexuality as something that's good and wholesome. So he rejects really the very natural order that God created. And he believes, and he advocates this publicly. I mean, I'm not accusing him of something that he would deny. He says this very publicly, as you just heard, this notion that humans are going to be transformed into little gods.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, I think from a biblical perspective, the implications of this should be crystal clear. It's the very same lie from the pit of hell that humans have been deceived by for thousands of years.
And he made it very, the acquiring of divine powers he talked about, and made it very clear as well, we need to have this surveillance under the skin, and this transhumanism is the mechanism for that to happen.
That's right. And he talked about humans as being hackable.
Yes.
This is new lingo that's now popping up more and more among these transhumanists. In fact, I've got a clip of one of the chief scientists for Moderna talking about how the company has now figured out, and they're certainly not alone in this, how to hack life. And so using this mRNA technology, in fact, the very same technology that they use in the injections that they deployed under the guise of keeping us safe from COVID-19, they very misleadingly called them vaccinations, quote unquote. But this is the same technology. And he says, the chief scientist there, he says that this really represents the hacking of life, because we're now able to hijack biological systems and give them new instructions. So instead of these systems responding to the genetic instructions that God wrote when he wrote our DNA, when he wrote our genetic code, these are now people who are writing these instructions, and they're able to then hijack our biological systems, whether that be the protein factories in our cells or even macro systems, and get them to do what they want. And so this is the terminology that they're using. For a time, if you went to Moderna's website, they talked about this new injection that they had developed as implanting a new operating system into your body. So we need to understand these people are not messing around. When they say these things, we need to listen.
Indeed. Alex Newman with us here today on Crosstalk. And again, folks, proponents of this, you just heard it with your own ears. I mean, pushing to have humankind become like God. Alex, that really ties us into the COVID shot as well, because he talked about how COVID is critical, you know, for this to take place. And yet we have indicated that injections that insert genetic material into the human body, they hijack the cells for various functions, appears to be a critical precursor to transhumanism.
Yes, it absolutely is. And I think during the COVID pandemic, we saw the first really full public demonstration of where this is going. We saw, first of all, the crisis exploited to sell us all sorts of new policies and technologies that we would not have been willing to accept previously, including, incidentally, these gene therapies that they're calling vaccinations. I mean, these do not work in the way that vaccinations have traditionally worked. They even had to redefine vaccines
right.
to call these vaccines. And so for the first time in human history, we saw mass distribution of this technology that is quite literally inserting human-created genetic material and using it to hijack your biological systems, in this case, for the purpose of producing spike protein. So very dangerous what's happening here, Jim.
It is, and we're going to come back to this, because that COVID shot has been, I mean, that really was what they described it as, being an operating system. So we'll develop that further here following the break. Alex Newman with us here today on transhumanism. By the way, you'll find topics this covered at thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. Back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Skeptics and critics understand the magnitude of the resurrection. They have developed numerous theories in their desperate attempts to explain away the wealth of evidence. Early Christians consistently emphasized Christ's conquering of death. Yet many in the church today only discuss this vital doctrine at Easter time, and some fail to mention it entirely when attempting to share the gospel with unbelievers. In the book, In Defense of Easter, Author Tim Chafee has written a biblical apologetic that teaches readers how history supports the resurrection, why skeptical explanations come up short, and how the resurrection is a source of comfort. This book clearly affirms the power of the resurrection and why remembering the resurrection is not limited to a single day on the calendar. In Defense of Easter is available for a donation of $13 or more to VCY America. Call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, I hope you're putting all the pieces of the puzzle together here, because this is all working hand in glove here for the Great Reset to take place, and using COVID really as a catalyst for advancing this aspect. Alex Newman is with us here today talking on this topic of transhumanism, and it is no mistake, Alex, that in the words of Rahm Emanuel, never let a crisis go to waste. This is really the COVID is being used as a catalyst to advance the cause of not only the Great Reset, but this whole aspect of transhumanism as well. And we just heard the clips that we played from Yuval Noah Harari, in which talked about the necessity for COVID here. But the shot itself has been, like you mentioned, not like any other vaccine. We had to change what vaccine is, the definition of it, to accommodate the COVID shot here. But this is actually an operating system, and that's how it was designed, to carry this messenger RNA needed to, you know, to change individuals and trick the body cells, et cetera.
That's right. And as you explore the advances in technology when it comes to biological engineering, you realize that they have made unbelievable amounts of progress. They now have technologies like these mRNA injections, like something they call CRISPR, that have the ability to hijack the biological systems that God created and God designed and use them for purposes for which they were not designed. And it is now an open fact. I mean, nobody disputes this. It's in the news that they are manufacturing babies using DNA from three parents. Mm-hmm. They are making chimeras. They're combining human and mouse DNA and human and pig DNA, and creating these freakish creatures under the guise of advancing medicine and science. And people need to understand that these things are no longer science fiction. These things are happening now. There are multiple governments around the world that admit that they're creating what they describe as super soldiers through rewriting the genetic code of the human being. And, when you think of the human biological systems as kind of software and hardware, you realize that's what these people are talking about. You know, and I've made this argument long before transhumanism really became a public issue. You know, if you look at DNA, DNA is very much a software system. It's far more advanced than anything humans ever have developed or could have even imagined. But it is, in essence, a software. It's a set of instructions that tell the hardware what to do and what proteins to build and how to arrange themselves. And so when you recognize that the human body is really composed of, quote unquote, software and hardware, only infinitely more complex than anything that a human being could have imagined, you realize, wow, as human technology and knowledge advances, there are ways in which that software and that hardware can be manipulated and hijacked and re-engineered. And we are now on the cusp of having that happen on a massive scale. Mm-hmm. Not just in America, but around the world.
And really, that's where, I mean, look, folks, as what has happened so far with things like vaccine passports, microchips, digital ID, cashless systems. I mean, all the components are coming together for this this same end goal here, Alex. And it all comes under the guise of safety and security.
That's right. And the Bible has something to say about that when they cry safety and peace and then certain destruction shall come upon them.
Yeah.
But it truly is amazing how COVID was such a perfect justification to advance all these technologies. So they started, they put their war on cash into overdrive because cash supposedly was spreading COVID. They put the surveillance systems into place under the guise of vaccine passports because they didn't want unvaccinated, the nasty, unwashed, disease-ridden people to go and mingle with those who had taken their injections. So COVID was a perfect pretext. And actually, Klaus Schwab talks about this. He says if the pandemic had come even a few years earlier, there's no way that the Fourth Industrial Revolution could have leapt forward in this way, because the technology enabled everything to go online very quickly. So you couldn't have church in real life anymore, but don't worry, you can watch church on Facebook so that Mark Zuckerberg can decide what your pastor is and is not allowed to say, so that everything can be tracked and monitored, so that it can all go into the databases, so that the algorithms and the artificial intelligence can mine it and determine whether you are a good, compliant citizen or whether you're one of those pesky Christians with silly ideas like fake news, as Yuval Noah Harari called it, that our Lord and Savior actually resurrected from the dead, like the scriptures attest. So very, very dangerous, and COVID was really the perfect justification to move this all forward, and I don't think that was an accident.
There's another term that has come out more and more that I'd like you to discuss as well. It's called metaverse. What is metaverse?
So the metaverse is basically a new universe. God created the actual universe that we live in, and the metaverse is man's cheap imitation of the universe that God created. And so Mark Zuckerberg, the head of Facebook, the totalitarian who likes to determine what we can and cannot say to each other, right? Facebook was originally marketed as a way for us to connect with our friends and family and communicate with those around us. Of course, it was no such thing. It was a giant data mining operation to take all of our information and give it to the government and give it to big corporations and make a bunch of money. But so now Mark Zuckerberg and his colleagues over at Facebook, which is now called Meta, are designing this whole new alternative universe. It's a digital universe, but you can spend time in it. And eventually, their ultimate goal here is for people to spend the majority of their time not in the real universe that God created, but in the metaverse that Mark Zuckerberg and his colleagues control. And there are a lot of appealing elements to this for people who kind of don't want to live in reality, right? You can kind of create your own reality. If you want an island, you can just invent an island, and you can go sit in virtual reality on this island that you created. But of course, it is still a cheap imitation of the universe that God created. And the more you dig into this, Jim, the more troubling it gets, right? Yeah. So to exist in the metaverse, you have to have what's called an avatar. And as I was digging into this, I just quickly looked up avatar, and the very first thing that pops up is an entry from Wikipedia that says that this is a Hindu concept of a divine expression into the universe. So your avatar is really this demonic Hindu idea that you have this representation manifesting itself in physical reality. So that's where they're going with this. And the marketing materials, they make it look so fun. And, you know, I can go meet my friends in the metaverse and we don't even have to be together in real life. But I think people really should think about this very carefully before taking the plunge.
And the whole aspect, though, of the technology, and that's even a connection here to what we're talking about here with transhumanism as well and getting us into the technology. And I really believe, Alex, that there's this whole process of through COVID and all of these things that there is a desensitizing of humanity in regard to these matters of heading us towards transhumanism.
Oh, there absolutely is, Jim. And one of the things I've looked at is how this is now being marketed to the younger generations. It's still not really being marketed to the adults. Obama famously called the older conservative Americans the bitter clingers because they're clinging to their guns and their Bibles and whatever. But if you look at some of the propaganda that's now being made to market this whole concept of transhumanism, it's very advanced and it's very sophisticated. The BBC has a show called Years and Years, which is directed primarily at young people and children. And it's about this little girl. I would guess from having seen the clips that I've seen, maybe 15, 16 years old. And she has to educate her parents on transhumanism because they don't really understand it. But it's presented as this just cool, amazing thing. She describes being transhuman as it's joy. It's pure joy. And her parents are kind of confused. They're just old-fashioned. They don't get it. And so she has this microchip embedded in her brain. She talks about living forever as data and having her physical body turned into compost to fertilize the plants. And this is marketed to children as something desirable that your silly old-fashioned parents just don't understand. Very, very subtle, but also very, very effective.
What is the end goal for transhumanism?
Well, I think if you listen carefully to the leading transhumanists, they'll tell you what the end goal is. It is to replace God, to create God, and ultimately to turn ourselves into gods, as we discussed earlier with Yuval Noah Harari. But another one of the leading luminaries here, his name is Ray Kurzweil, chief of engineering at Google. He believes that they are now creating God. He was asked in a documentary about himself, about the existence of God. And he says, no, God doesn't exist yet, but not yet. Right? We're creating God. And that's what these people believe, that these supercomputers, the technology that's advancing so quickly is going to become a deity. And then we're going to have the choice to either fuse ourselves, merge ourselves into this technological Borg, or be utterly destroyed. I mean, it'd be left kind of like ants in comparison to humans. And so, you know, I don't believe God's going to allow it to get that far, but I think we're witnessing something that is outright satanic. You've got a church of AI founded in Silicon Valley where they say, hey, we're literally building God with the hardware and software, and this Godhead should be worshipped and adored. And then, of course, they want to live forever. Right? These people reject God. They reject Jesus Christ. They reject the Bible. And so they have a terror of death. Right? Well, when I die, what happens? Is it all over? And so a lot of these people believe, and this is one of the ways that it's being marketed to the unbelieving public, is, hey, this is a way for you to live forever. You can upload your consciousness onto the computer, and then you can live forever in the metaverse. And you don't need your stinky biological body. You can just exist in this virtual world that's going to be so much better anyway. So I think that's the end goal. It is the Antichrist system, I think, that we're watching come into view right now. And Christians should be paying attention to this. And I think Christians should be considering, you know, what's my line in the sand? Am I going to take a microchip in my hand? Am I going to take a microchip in my brain? Am I going to go along with this agenda? What happens when they say I can't buy or sell if I don't participate in the system? It's good to think about these things now, so that we're not, you know, confronted with the choice and have to make a decision spur of the moment.
Can this technology be resisted?
I believe it can. You know, I don't know what God has in store for the future, but I've successfully resisted the technology so far. I say I'm one of the last remaining people on the planet who does not have a smartphone and never has had a smartphone and does not intend to ever have a smartphone. And, you know, it's a little bit of an inconvenience sometimes. All the companies say, oh, just download our app and you can do this, that, or the other, and I can't order an Uber. But guess what? I'm surviving. And I tell people, too, you know, God used crows and ravens to feed Elijah in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. God has ways of sustaining his people that don't involve selling out to a diabolical system. And so, you know, we can resist, and I think we must resist. And, you know, I don't know exactly what the mark of the beast is. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like, when it's going to come, et cetera. But I do know that, you know, once you cross that threshold, there's no going back. And so Christians really should be aware of this. We should be putting all of our faith and our hope and our trust in God. And we should, you know, have a clear vision. So,
Alex Newman with us today. Our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Alex, I know you have written on this. You have also done a video series on this. How can our listeners gain access to those pieces?
Well, most of the stuff is at thenewamerican.com. We do have a one-hour presentation that I did on transhumanism that will be coming out very, very soon in the next week or so, kind of a condensed version of my research on this. My first major feature article, it was part of a cover story package in The New American, was in 2020. You can also find that at thenewamerican.com. And then our videos on this, I did a six-part lecture series for my show Behind the Deep State at The New American. You can either find that on our website, thenewamerican.com, or you can go direct to, you know, Rumble or any of those video platforms and find them there.
Okay, again, thenewamerican.com. And friends, I would also encourage you to either obtain a copy of this program today or send links out to others to inform them. Within just a couple of hours, it will be at crosstalkamerica.com, our interview today. There's no cost for that. If you do want a hard copy CD, we do have a donation amount of $6 or more for a CD just to cover the duplication and material and postage expense to get it to you. And that's available by calling our switchboard at 800-729-9829. For CDs, that's 800-729-9829. We'll be back in 1 minute here with your phone calls. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. There was a classified document that was released to some within the intelligence community on December 10th, 1974. Remember, it was classified. It wasn't declassified until 1989. But here's what this report in 1974 talked about: population control. And you know what it was dubbed? the Kissinger Report after the man who helped lead it, Henry Kissinger. And guess what he was talking about? Controlling world population. Chapters include population and world food supplies, economic development and population growth, World Population Conference. Talked about using the media and satellite communications for family planning. Henry Kissinger, it said, helped to create the World Economic Forum. So Henry Kissinger has been at this population control a long time. The power elite and population control. That's active euthanasia and abortion on demand. I'm Brandon House.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Alex Newman with us today. The topic, transhumanism. And folks, it's real and it's happening. It's going on. The discussions are now not behind closed doors, but open. And you heard some of the clips here today that have been compiled. Klaus Schwab from World Economic Forum pushing this to great extent as well. And think about all the things that are unfolding. And it's by no accident, the whole matter of the vaccine passports. And we talked about the microchips, the digital ID, a cashless system. All of these things, yes, for safety and security, are all going toward that common end of pushing us toward transhumanism. Looking at the clock, we don't have time for long speeches. If you have a quick statement or a question you'd like to ask of Alex Newman, give us a call here at Crosstalk. We're going to begin with Barry in Tennessee. Barry, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say what the brother is saying is absolutely true. This isn't sci-fi, science fiction. Mm-hmm. This is actually what's coming down the road. And our pastors better prepare themselves and their people spiritually and mentally for this, for what's coming. They better not brush this off. They better take this seriously, or else we're going to, as the Bible says, we'll go by way of all the rest of the world. Just like the way the rest of the world is going to go, we'll go.
Thank you, Barry. We've got Philip in Richland, Washington. You're on the air, Philip.
Thank you. I have a question. If they're so smart, how come they haven't solved AIDS? There's no cure for AIDS. There's no cure for mm-hmm. cancer yet. There's mm-hmm. been a war on cancer for several years. Nobody has solved that.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has solved
right.
depression.
So, you're saying how can they do this if they can't do the? If how can they achieve this transhumanism, Alex? If we can't, you know, cure cancer and AIDS and so forth.
Excellent question. I think one reason why we haven't found cures to these things is because it's a deliberate policy. The people who are leading these operations, very much including Bill Gates and many of these others, they have publicly shared their view many times that they believe there's way too many people on this planet and that we need a drastic reduction in population. In fact, Bill Gates even famously said that was one of the reasons he loved vaccines so much, because it would help reduce the population of the planet. So, I think the reason why we haven't made much progress on those is because there are very powerful forces that don't want progress on those. A lot of resources and a lot of energy is going into advancing this technology for the transhumanism. So.
Again, folks, remember Bill Gates talking about saving lives and reducing the population. I mean, what an oxymoron. Logan in Keller, Texas, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. I guess my question for y'all is, I have two. When do y'all think this is going to become mainstream, and what do y'all think it's going to mean for armed service members, kind of like the vaccine being mandatory?
Thank you, Logan.
Great question. I think we're probably just on the cusp of the mass marketing program. I would anticipate that within the next few years, we're going to see the mainstreaming of some of these technologies. They'll probably market them as kind of cool and hip, and you're not part of the cool club if you haven't gotten your implants and all the rest of it. They'll market it as convenient and desirable. In fact, they'll start telling people they're bad parents if they don't genetically upgrade their children. So I think we're right at the beginning of the mainstreaming of these ideas, and people should look out for it, because it's already starting to happen in the UK and other places.
The military as well? I mean,
and the military, I think the military is a captive audience. And so just like they force the injections on virtually all of our military, I think a lot of these technologies will be deployed first in the captive populations, the military, the prisoners, and probably school children.
Thank you, Logan. David in Milwaukee, you're on the air.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Rob. Both of my sons, and they went to V2I Hillsborough camp and expos. Mm-hmm. So thank you.
Let's go right to our issue, David.
Right to the point, my son said it's a precursor to the mark of the beast. The other one said it's engineered fear. And then from Rob Pugh, COVID, certificate of vaccination, ID. God bless you. Yeah. Warn the body of Christ.
Yeah, indeed. And that's what, well, that's what we're doing today is warning. And the technology is there, and we see the efforts that are underway to make this mainstream. And certainly, as the prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We've got Dominique next in Mukwonago, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering on the good crisis go to waste thing, on the engineering aspect of it. Alex, would you feel comfortable commenting at all between Dr. David Martin's expose on patent planning for two decades or Dr. Brian Artis's expose of this being more of a Cobra 19, if you're comfortable commenting on either of those? Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much for the call. I know Dr. Artis and I know Dr. Martin both pretty well. I've had them both on my programs, and I respect them very much. I don't know enough about this issue that Dr. Artis has raised recently with the allegations of snake venom. You know, I don't know enough to comment on that responsibly, but in my experience, Dr. Martin and Dr. Artis are both highly intelligent and very credible. So when they speak, I listen.
Let's go to Ann next in Santa Fe, New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, the clip of the gentleman that was Jewish that was saying Jesus never happened, there is no God, and just the fact that the Jewish peoples were the ones that, you know, crucify him. There's always an earmark, fingerprints of Satan. If he picks Jews in every scenario, he's pushing forward. I just wanted to say that. And also, when people say, you know, it's always been this way, there's always been plagues, blah, blah, blah. Well, it hasn't always been this way. Since 1947-48, no one thought the United States would unravel and not be a world superpower. Yeah. Things have changed.
Yeah, indeed. Alex, any comment there?
Well, you know, I will say Yuval Noah Harari, I wouldn't exactly consider him a faithful Jew. Yes, he lives in Israel. Yes, you know, his ancestry is Jewish. But as I understand Judaism, that is at least a belief in the Torah. And Yuval Noah Harari has made very, very clear that he rejects all of this as superstitious nonsense. And so, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he's not a true religious Jew in any sense. And, you know, I don't know that there's a connection, but I know our Lord warned us of those who say they are Jews but are not, are actually a synagogue of Satan.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can think of a few people that meet that criteria.
Thank you, Ann. Let's our final call from Atlanta, Georgia. Leroy, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment that, you know, he says, Harari says that Jesus and the resurrection is fake news, but in the same breath, he says if we take this shot, we'll be like gods. Hmm. How does he know what God is?
Yeah. Very interesting comment there. Thank you, Leroy, for raising that issue. Alex Newman with us today. Alex, 20 seconds, final comment.
Well, I want to thank you so much for having me, Jim, and I hope everybody will be in prayer about this, folks. Dramatic changes have come over the last few years, and even more dramatic changes are coming in the years ahead, but just cling tight to your Lord, your Savior, and your King, and everything's going to be okay. God bless you, and thank you so much for having me, Jim.
Oh, thank you, Alex. And friends, no, it's not a time to be fear, to take up fear and hang on to it, because God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Let's use that to serve him. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.